Let us look at Job chapter 14. Job 14. I believe we have come to this chapter. Let us read responsively before we go through this chapter. Job 14. Verse 1 through 22 verses. Verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me in a judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth, and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, so the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to work to the work of thine hand. Now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. Surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of its place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of men. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passes. Thou changest his countenance, and sendeth him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. And they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. This whole chapter is about life and death, and the question of whether there is life again, life after death. It's an important chapter for us to consider. Verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. You know, there's a Chinese saying concerning the four stages of life. Sen lao bing si. Do you understand Chinese? My Chinese is not that good. I hope I pronounce the words correctly. Sen lao bing si. Birth. There's birth. And after you are born, you grow old, right? Old age. And when you get old, the common thing is you will get sick. Sen lao bing, sick, you get sick. And then when you are sick, you wait only to die. The final stage is death. Of course, this is a fact of life, we know that. Birth, old age, sickness and death. And the Bible speaks of it as well, addresses this about man, four stages of his life. So man that is born of woman, all of us are born of woman. Our mothers gave birth to us. We are human beings. And those who are human beings, born of a woman, is of few days. In other words, our lifespan on earth is very short compared to eternity.
Right.
Now, we know that man is created in the image of God. And we are immortal creatures. In other words, once we are born into this world, and since we are made in the image of God, we have a spiritual soul that will last forever. Of course, the thing is, will we spend eternity in heaven or in hell?
Right.
That's the question. Once we are born, once we live, we will not die. We'll live on and on and on. But why is it that it is of few days? Right? It is of few days here. It's described that our life is of few days. Well, on this earth, it is few. It is a short span of life. How long? Well, this is quite similar to what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 90. Right? If you turn to Psalm 90, let's review that. I'm sure this is familiar to many of you, this verse, with regard to our lifespan. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. 70 is 60. And 10 plus 10, 70 years. 70 years. Is it very long? It's not very long. When I look back, wow, I did not realize that 3/4 of my life is up. I was born in 1964, so this year I'm 47 years old. You didn't think I was that old, did you? Well, 47 years old. How many more years do I have left of life on this earth? It's 70 years and 10. I've only 23 more years. 23. Wow. It's very short. It's the last quarter already of my life. 3/4 already up. 1 more quarter. If I'm strong, if my health holds up, maybe add 10 more years. Right? And here it tells us, if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, 80 years, our lifespan. 70, 80 years. 23, 33 years old. 33 years more for me. How about you? How long more do you have? Oh. Many a time we think of our life here, you know, what we can gain out of life, how much money I can make, how much I can enjoy in this life, and never think of what will happen in the future when death comes. And when death comes, life after death is not a few days, it's many, many, many days for eternity. Where will you go? Where will I go? Where will you spend eternity? Where will I spend eternity? And this is something we must consider right now. Where we will spend eternity is something that must be decided and resolved when we are on earth. It will determine where we spend eternity. And if we choose rightly, we believe rightly, then our eternity is secured in heaven. Yes, we can go to heaven. And God wants us also to live with Him in heaven. But the decision, the choice must be made not when we die or after we die. That would be too late. It is right now, right now. While we still have time on earth. And if we choose wrongly and we disobey, we don't do the will of God, we don't believe in this word, there's eternity in the lake of fire and a whole eternity to regret. And that is most tragic. So I'm thankful you come to church. You come with your Bible. You come to learn from His Word. I think of all the days of the week, Sunday is the most important day, where you come to seek God and seek His wisdom, seek His will, to know how we might live our life on earth so that we might not spend eternity in a lake of fire, but in a heaven of bliss, right, in fellowship with the Lord. But our time on earth is short. And then it says here, and the days are full of what? Labor and sorrow, right? Psalm 19. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. This is quite similar to what Job wrote here. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Our days on earth, full of trouble. When I look back at my life, well, a lot of trouble. I think you can look at your life now. Are you not living in days of trouble? I remember when I was young, well, we have all the exams to take, right, in school. PSLE, after PSLE, O-levels, O-levels, A-levels. A lot of stress, a lot of trouble. And our teachers would pressure us. Our parents also pressure us. Tuition teachers pressure us. Exams pressure us. Pressures from all over. It's a necessary evil. We have to be tested to make sure that we learn our stuff. We know our stuff. Right? We are graded accordingly. These are the evils in this world today. Necessary evil. Right? And, yes, whole lot of labor. Hard work. Trouble. And after school, well, you have national service. For us who are men in Singapore, we have national service. Because go through the army, go through national service, whether the army, navy, or air force, for 2 or 2.5 years. Now they cut down. We pray for our young people. Well, Daniel and Benjamin and Samuel just got in. Well, I hear that nowadays it's more relaxed. But nonetheless, right, there's hard training involved. So you are tested also, national service, full of labor, full of trouble. And after that, a university life, a new set of, right, troubles, labor and troubles. Well, I went to FEBC, I spent 4 years there. Is there a whole lot of hard work and labor? Sure, a whole lot of work involved. It's not easy. No royal road to learning. Did I suffer in FEBC? Yes, I suffered. I suffered under the matron too, Mrs. Toll. She's a very good Greek teacher. So she will drill us and grill us. Doing duties in the college, she liked me so much, she put me to wash the toilets 4 semesters in a row. So a lot of labor, right? A lot of trouble, hardships. But thank God, you know, although a lot of labor and hardship in college life, I enjoyed myself very much. Full of joy and pleasure to study God's Word. I thank God for those years. And after that, I went to the States, in a foreign land, among strangers, and how you also have to work very hard to do well, right, in your studies. And I remember Mrs. Toh telling us, Reverend Kwek Swan, you and I, when we went to the States, you don't pass, you don't do well, you don't come back. Right, don't come back. Well, we thank God for God's grace. Not easy, time away from home in a foreign land. And I can sympathize with foreign students in Singapore, studying, not easy. Full of labor, full of trouble. And then when you go into your working life, oh, the evils that are out there are many. We all have to go through all these things. And it's good if we can have the Lord to be with us, to go through with us all these kinds of pressures and stresses and evil in this life. And to live above the world, live at a supernatural plane, and to make our lives count for the Lord. yes, a lot of hardships, but if we live on a very high spiritual plane, that is much joy, and you will find the Lord helping you to go through all these things in life victoriously, successfully, and not fall into sin, not backslide from Him, but having a spiritual influence and impact on the life of those whom you meet and come across. You will point them to the Lord Jesus Christ through your word, through your deeds, right, through your life. There's a difference. People can see it. And they will ask the question, how can I have a life like yours? Something missing in my life. Can you tell me your secret? Of course, the secret is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, our days may be few on earth, but it can be very meaningful with the Lord Jesus Christ. May be full of trouble, but it can also be full of joy when we have the Lord with us in our lives to help us live above and beyond our flesh. You see, to live in the Spirit. And I think Job right now, going through a whole lot of suffering in his life, physically and emotionally, spiritually too, because his friends were accusing him of so many things. Right? And there's a great struggle in it, in himself. And he's reflecting on his life and the things, and he sees, yes, I'm born of a woman. My days are few. I'm in such great pain. I can die at any moment. And surely the Lord knows about it. But he gave a good statement of faith. Remember the previous chapter, what did he say? Proverbs 13. Though he slay me, right? Remember Proverbs 13? Look at Proverbs 13 verse 15. Job had this faith, this trust in this God who is sovereign and faithful. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. So take note of this. So he cometh forth like a flower. Man, when he's born, cometh forth like a flower, right, in full bloom, but soon after he'll be cut down, and is cut down. He cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. Shadow, right? It comes and goes, does not continue. And that's our life, like a vapor. It comes, you see it for a while, and it vanishes away. Just like the psalmist says, we are soon cut off, and then we fly away. We fly away. We disappear from the earth. Verse 3, and dost thou open mine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? And dost thou open thine eyes? Who is the thou? Who is the thine here? Thine eyes. Now the thou here refers to God. The Lord opens his eyes. The Lord has eyes to see. And this speaks of his omniscience. He knows everything. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one? And who is this one here? He's referring to himself. Such a one that is a sinner, right? So miserable, so frail, so weak, so poor. You are so almighty. You are all-knowing. And for me, I'm born of a woman. I'm from this earth. I don't know everything. And I can see my weaknesses. Physical and spiritual weaknesses. I'm poor. I'm frail. I'm a sinner. And bringest me into judgment with thee. Yes, I'm a wretched being. And who am I that you should consider me? I'm really nothing. God is everything. And I'm nothing. So here we see the humility, right, of Job. And verse 4 he says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? He is really confessing, I am unclean. We are born in sin. Born not clean. So who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? I am born sinful. Can I wash away and get rid of my sins? I cannot. No human being. We are totally corrupted, totally depraved. We can never on our own remove our sins or take away our sins. They are always there. I'm born unclean, I remain unclean. So who can bring a clean thing out of unclean? Not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. This verse can be explained, right, by the Apostle Paul in Romans. You turn to Romans. Romans chapter 3. What Job is saying here is similar to what Paul said with regard to man. Romans chapter 3. Verse 9 tells us, they are all under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And look at how filthy, how unclean, how dirty we are. Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher, an open rotting tomb. With their tongues they have used deceit. There's poison of ass under their lips, mouth full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's what we are. And Job also recognized this about himself. In verse 5, seeing his days are determined, his days here, the days of men, right? The days of those born of a woman, our days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. In other words, how long we will live on earth is already determined by the Lord. Our birth date has been determined, our death date also determined by the Lord. When will we die? The Lord knows. I don't know, you don't know when you will die, when the Lord will take you home. We live day by the grace of God. But the Lord knows, it's all determined already. Okay. And the number of his months are with thee. He is the one who holds the key to life and death. And we better not play God with our life. There are those who take their own life, commit suicide. That's playing God. It's tantamount to blasphemy. Never take your life lightly. No matter what troubles or hardships or difficulties you go through in life, and you may sin against the Lord in a very, very grievous way, but don't ever say, I can take my own life and run away from all my troubles. Troubles are there, yes, but we have no right to take our own life. The right of life is solely God's right. And don't play God, and don't take your life lightly. There's always mercy with the Lord. You go through any troubles, and you think you're so overwhelmed by trouble that you're squeezed to a corner, no way out. Don't think, all right, end my life here and now. Commit suicide. You look up when you're pressed on every side. You look up, and there's help from above. It will humble ourselves. Many a time we are squeezed to a corner because we think we can do things with our own strength. no, I can find this way out, that way out. And you use your own understanding to try to solve your problem. And then each one does not work, and you dig a deeper and deeper hole for yourself because you're too proud to say, I'm not clever, I'm no good, I need to pray to God. And you refuse to pray. You think you can get out of the trouble you've found yourself in by your own ways, and you find yourself digging a deeper and deeper hole for yourself. Well, we must humble ourselves and then look up. Lord, I cannot. I'm very sorry for the mess that I found myself in because I've sinned against you. And you cry to the Lord for help. He will help you. There's mercy with the Lord. And His mercies are new every morning. Yesterday you didn't pray for His mercies. Don't think that today, since I didn't pray yesterday, today I've forfeited already this avenue to ask from God to help me. No, every day He's waiting for you to seek Him humbly in prayer, and He will help. Problem is, we don't look up. We look to ourselves, we look to others, we think we are good enough and strong enough when we are not. We humble ourselves, we look up, we'll find help. And when we have sinned against the Lord, please don't say that God cannot forgive me of my sin, no matter how great it is. You know how great the suffering Christ went through for you and for me in His life and in His death, to suffer for you and for me, to save us from our sins. Which sin is so great that Christ cannot forgive? Well, the great suffering, the infinite suffering Jesus went through can take away any sin if only we will ask Him for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We look up, but we must never play God. We must surrender our life to God, pray to Him, but never play God and say, I'll take my own life. That right only belongs to God. Right? So seeing His days are determined, the number of His months are with thee. Thou hast appointed His bounds that He cannot pass. So it's all set already. Right? Our life has been predetermined, predestined by the Lord. And you want to make sure that you are found in God's good plan, that you are His child. You are born again, born in this family. And once you are born in this family, you are born of a woman. But you must be born of the Spirit. And once you are born into the Christian family, into God's family, then you can be sure God has a good plan for your life. No matter what happens in life or on earth, the Lord will somehow work it out that it will redound to His glory. And it will end up for our good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All because God is sovereign, He's in control, and He's faithful to His promises and to His words. And He has made many promises to us, His children. He will keep His promise. And I've experienced His promises of late. And you too, I'm sure. We have prayed for the Far Eastern Bible College. He is a very powerful God, very good God, true to His promises. Why don't you trust in Him? He is in control, right? All these things are determined. But make sure you're found in His good book, in His good will, and then you'll see that He has a good plan in your life. And no matter what kind of evil you face, you love the Lord, you are called according to His purpose, the Lord will work things out, right, to a good end. And then it will also result in His glory. So take note of this. Verse 6, turn from Him, that He may rest till He shall accomplish as in hiring His day. So Job here prays the Lord to spare him. Is going through tremendous suffering. And then the false accusations from his friends. So he prays the Lord, to spare him, turn from him, or show mercy to him, that he may rest, that the remaining days of his life on earth, and he's thinking, maybe I have not many days left because I'm suffering with this terrible disease, right? That he may rest, I may rest, have some peace, right, in my dying days, till he shall accomplish it entirely his day. So there's a short time left. That's what he thought, all right, of his life. And then verse 7, for there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. The root thereof wax old in the earth, and stalk thereof die in the ground. Yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Now here, we find Job, although, you know, he is in this very sorry state, miserable condition, and he is suffering outside as well as inside, physically and spiritually, yet we find him speaking words of hope in the Lord with regard to life after death. Job was a believer. He was a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever gospel good news he had heard and knows of God in the Old Testament, he looked forward to his Savior to come. And he has been instructed also by the Spirit. And he has this doctrine of the resurrection, of life after death. He says, I may be suffering right now, but I know when I die, there is going to be life. It's going to be a good life. So he gives illustrations from nature, how a tree, when it's cut down, it will sprout again. The death of a tree will lead to life of another. Now in FEBC, I do not know whether we still have the banana trees behind. We have quite a number of banana trees. Pisang Raja, Reverend Toh planted around. I don't know whether they have been cut down, all cut down already or not, with, you know, a lot of things happening, but I learned that the banana tree, once it flowers and bears fruit, after that it will no more be fruitful again, right? No more bear fruit, it will die. But then, when it dies, there will be new life coming from the shoots, young shoots below. The new tree will come up to bear fruit again. So, similarly, right, in our life, yes, we may die physically, but there's life after death. And so in verse 10 we read, but man dieth and wasteth away, man giveth up the ghost, right, his spirit is within him, and where is he? Now that's a good question. Where is man after he dies? Do you have an answer? The Bible gives us the answer. And that's a good question. Where is he? Well, let us read further on and see the answer. As the waters spill from the sea, and the flood decays and dries up, so man lieth down and rises not, till the heavens be no more, and they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Well, that's true, all right? As the water stale from the sea, low tide, all right, the sea retreats, you see dry land, no water at low tide, and the flood decays and dries up. When there's drought in the land dries up, no more water. So man one day will dry up, will die, all right, and rises not. Yes, when a man is put down, right, in the grave, he does not rise up until what? Until a time. There will be a time where he will rise up again, all right? And here he gives us that thinking, verse 12. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. So after a man is buried in the ground, he will not rise up until the moment or the time of the resurrection. And that will happen when the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep until that time, when the heavens be no more. When will that be? Now we compare scripture with scripture. And we turn to Revelation chapter 20. Alright? Now we know that one day this earth, alright, will disappear. It will be no more. And the present heavens also will melt with fervent heat, will be destroyed. Alright? There will be a new heavens and new earth. So it will be at the end. So everyone who dies at this point in time and are buried, they will not be physically raised up until that time. All the unbelieving dead, when they die at this time, their bodies are in the grave, right? But one day the bodies will be raised up. Even those who are unbelievers, their bodies will be raised up. Where is man after he dies? Where is he? Well, the soul, we know, can leave the body. Man is made of two parts, body and soul, or body and spirit, the visible, invisible part. And when a man dies, right, the body is committed to the ground, okay, is buried, and then the soul leaves the body, and is found in either one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. Okay, the believer will be in heaven. The unbeliever will be in hell. And how about the body? The body waits for the day of resurrection. And in the future, there are two resurrections. One is a blessed resurrection, and another is a cursed resurrection. The blessed resurrection is the resurrection of believers, where they will receive their glorified bodies. And body and soul will be joined together to live with Christ forever, for eternity. One day, right, our bodies will be resurrected. And the bodies of the unbelievers will also be resurrected. But it's a resurrection unto judgment. And God will judge them at the judgment of the great white throne. And if they are not forgiven of their sins, they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, not washed by the blood of the Lamb, their names are not found in the Lamb's book of life, they will be condemned to eternal torment in the lake of fire forever. Body, now body and soul. Soul in hell, suffering torment. But the next stage, with the resurrection of body, a cursed resurrection, body and soul joined together will now be cast into the lake of fire forever. Body and soul now will suffer for eternity. How great the judgment and the punishment is. Yes, very great. Why? Because the sin is against whom? The sin is against the thrice holy God. God himself, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, creator. You sin against the creator, punishment is forever. Equal justice. The punishment is equal to the sin. Sin against the thrice holy God, who is eternal and everlasting. And that's why the punishment has to be eternal and everlasting. It is equal, fair justice. Sin against God. So, and here in Revelation chapter 20, right, you look at Revelation chapter 20, tells us in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Alright? So the earth and the heaven will one day be destroyed by fire. It will disappear, it will end. This present earth, this present heaven. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And we know that according to our works, no man can be saved. Salvation is purely by grace, through faith in Christ alone. So the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead. So all those in hell right now, who have died and are now in hell, the souls will all be raised up, joined with their bodies. Right? So death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they will judge every man according to their works. and by their works they will be condemned. Their names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, and death and hell, the unbelieving, both body and soul, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
Right.
And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So here we find Job having an idea of the resurrection, the doctrine of the resurrection. So don't think that the resurrection is an Old Testament, it's a New Testament doctrine. It's already found in the Old Testament. In the book of Job, we read of the resurrection and we learn of the resurrection, right? God giving Job that wisdom. And then verse 13, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me." Right? And this is a very interesting statement. "Thou wouldest hide me in the grave." Yes, you know, in times when we are going through a lot of physical pain and suffering, we wish to be absent in the body,
right?
Present with the Lord. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. Just like the Apostle Paul went through a lot of physical hardships and sufferings for the Lord's sake, for the gospel's sake. And he says, "I have a desire to go right now if the Lord will take my life. I cannot take my own life. Right? My life is in God's hand. It would be good if the Lord will just say, 'All right, time's up. Come home.' Well, I'll be very happy. Because away from this body, there'll be rest. Right? There'll be peace. No more suffering. Absent in the body. Present with the Lord." And Job is feeling that right now. "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Lord, call me home. Call me home. I know life and death is in your hand." And Job here never thought of taking his own life, right? My life is in God's hand. It's up to him whether he would take my life now or not. So he has the right. "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. You'll call me home, and then this body dies. When this body dies, no more pain, no more suffering. I go to the grave, and thou wouldest keep me secret." That means you will keep me safe, right? Keep me safe until thy wrath be past. Yes, there is going to be the wrath of God to come. God is going to judge this world with his wrath. And surely as believers, we will not come under the wrath of God. Our sins are forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross has appeased the wrath of God. And shedding his precious blood, he has covered our sins. And we who have believed on him, no more are we under God's wrath. So he prays that the Lord will keep him safe until his wrath be passed. And one day, when God pours out his wrath, will we be going through the wrath of God? No. We find in 1 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, we are told, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, we no longer experience the wrath to come. Okay? Where will we be? Now, if we die at this point in time, our body is in the grave, right? Our soul is in heaven, and one day our body will be raised up from the dead, be joined together with the soul, and forever we will be with the Lord. And this we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord shall himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and dead in Christ shall rise first. So dead in Christ will rise first, right? And of course Job is hoping for that. We'll no longer come under the wrath of God, but rather the salvation of Christ, and we'll be raised from the dead. Then we which are alive and remain still alive on earth when the Lord comes shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And we believe that we'll be caught up, alright, raptured in the heavens to meet the Lord Jesus before the 7-year great tribulation period, when God will pour down his wrath. Okay. And so here Job prays, right? If thou wouldest appoint me a set time, and the time is a time of salvation, right? The resurrection of the body, that we will receive our glorified body, spend eternity with Christ in heaven. So if a man die, shall he live again. So until thy wrath be past, if thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Remember me. These are wonderful terms of a child of God who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember me. It's a covenant term. God tells us to remember him. And we pray to the Lord, Lord, remember me. Remember the thief on the cross. There are two thieves crucified beside Jesus. Both reviled at him in the beginning. One repented and then said, Lord, remember me. When he says, Lord, remember me, what is he saying? Lord, remember to save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe. And Jesus spoke gracious words to him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So here Job says, Lord, remember me. You know I am your child. You know I believe in you. I trust in your words. I believe by faith. Remember me in such a time. Yes, the Lord will remember me. Today you will be with me in paradise. You will be raised. So verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? Good question again. There's a Chinese saying again, 人死不能复活. Once a man dies, he cannot live again. He cannot be raised up. Well, that's what they think. And it's not what the Bible says. Yes, if a man dies, shall he live again? He can live again. The resurrection. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. What is this change? This glorified body, our present corruptible body, will be changed into an incorruptible body, fit for heaven. You can read all of that in 1 Corinthians 15. This mortality must put on immortality. We want to live in heaven, we must have a special body. Just like, you know, today people, the astronauts who go to outer space, when they want to step out in space, they want to walk on the moon, they have to put on special space suits or else they will not survive. For us, our earthly body right now is fit for life on earth. But if we want to live in heaven, we must have special body, a glorified body, flesh and bone, right? A supernatural body that the Lord will give us on that day. Same kind of body that Jesus was raised with, right, after he died. On the third day, he was raised from the dead, and he was given that glorified body. You will have the same body as he has. So I will wait till my change comes. So he has hope of the resurrection. He is truly a believer. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, no gospel. With the resurrection, there is good news. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in his resurrection. So we find Job here confessing his faith. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I look forward to my Savior to come. I know he will raise me from the dead. I will wait till my change comes. Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Yes, I'm waiting for your call. A trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise up, and I will answer thee, and thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Yes, God will perform something marvelous, and he will work a wonderful work to give us a glorified body fit for eternity. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? Now he, you know, he comes back down to earth. He has, you know, from verse 10 to verse 14, he had heavenly thoughts. And now from verse 16 onwards, he is brought down low to his earthly condition and situation, which is full of suffering, right? And he acknowledges again his sin. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? Lord, yes, you know everything. Although he tried to live a spiritual life for the Lord, right? As God said of Job, he is perfect in all his ways, right? In the very beginning, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Although here the Lord says he's perfect and upright, that does not mean he's sinlessly perfect. Perfect in the sense that he was a man of faith who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, did that which was right, to obey the will of God, to confess his sins, believed, right, on the Savior and be saved. You see, one who feared God, who loved his commandments and eschewed evil, who kept himself from evil. That doesn't mean that he was sinlessly perfect. There were no struggles in his life. He never fell into sin. And Job confessed, yes, I struggle with sin. Right? And Lord, you know. Thou numberest my steps. You know my ways. Dost thou not watch over my sin? Yes. You know all my sins. And my transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. Nothing escapes you. You know every one of my transgressions, sealed up in a bag. None of it will escape, and thou sewest up my iniquity. I'm accountable for all the sins I've committed. And surely the mountains falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of its place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of men. And this paints, of course, a very bleak picture, isn't it? The mountain falling cometh to naught. Yes, how mountains, right, through the weather will lose its height, or there's an earthquake and a landslide, the tops of the mountain fall off, they become flat, or they are lowered, and how the pride of man is brought low, and how these mountains may be volcanoes, one super explosion, the top is blown off, or even the whole mountain can disappear. This time when we went to Greece, we went to one of the Greek islands, which was once upon a time, all right, this island was one volcano, big volcano, and there was a huge, powerful explosion so that the whole mountain disappeared, and then only what remained were you know, the rocks or the islands around it, but the whole center of the mountain was blown to pieces, disappeared, leaving behind, all right, a series of islands surrounding the center. It disappeared. So we are like this, all right? And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, a rock is removed out of its place, and the waters wear the stones through erosion, right? Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth. Thou destroyest the hope of men. In other words, the man that is without the Lord Jesus Christ lives his life here with full of hopelessness. There's no hope in a man that is outside of God and without Christ, without salvation. Thou destroyest the hope of man. When man hopes in himself, he finds there's no hope in him. When man finds hope in the mountains or on the earth, there's no hope in the mountains or the earth, because we see even the earth will wither away, will weather away, will be eroded away, and nothing will be left. One thing is only sure for man, and that is death. He will be reduced to nothing. Death will come. Verse 20, thou prevailest forever against him, the proud man, the man that doesn't want to submit to God and humble himself before him. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passes. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. And send him away where? Into the lake of fire. Right? He will be condemned. Verse 21, his sons come to honor, and he knows it not. So when he dies, finally, when the proud man, the ungodly man, the unbelieving man, the man without Christ, who has died in sins, when he dies, he may have sons, and the sons come to honor. But what does it mean? The sons come to honor. They may pay him respect. They may also worship him. There is, in our Chinese culture, there is ancestral worship. They come to honor him. They may even worship him. His sons come to honor him, right? Go to his grave, go to his tomb, or go to the ancestral tablet and worship, burn joss sticks, pray to him, to honor him. And he knows it not. Yes, he does not know. When a man dies and he is in hell, when his sons come to worship him, does he know? No, he does not know. And they are brought low. They, namely who? His sons. His sons are brought low because what they do is not correct. You don't worship any man, dead or alive. You only worship the living and true God, invisible, who is creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, rose from the dead. This is the one you must honor. This is the one you must fear. This is the one you must know. This is the one you must worship. And they who worship men, even their father who has passed away, what good is it? He doesn't know it. I remember my relatives, when my grandfather passed away, burned all those joss paper money, paper houses, paper cars. A lot of things were burned, big bonfire. You think that this is to honor grandfather who has passed away, and these things will go into the next life. Does he know it? He doesn't know. And what is the use? It won't reach him. And they are brought low, those who go about their life so blindly, not knowing the living and true God, their creator. They are brought low. And when they worship idols, it's a sin against the first commandment. A very, very grievous sin. They will be brought low. But he perceiveth it not of them. And even if so, he, a departed loved one, he cannot sympathize with them. He cannot help them in any way. He cannot give them any advice, even if he wanted to, because he's long gone, right? And in hell, you cannot come back up to tell the living what it's like so that they won't come to that place. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? How the rich man now in hell, in torment, and he says, I have still my brothers who are living. Please send Lazarus back so that he may tell them that there's this place of judgment. They will not come but believe in Christ. And what did Abraham say? If they don't believe in Moses and the prophets, in the word of God, in the gospel that's preached, they will not believe, even if such a mighty miracle as someone coming back from the dead to speak to them. They will not believe in the word or in the gospel if someone came back from the dead. It's very true. they are brought low because they refuse and reject God's word. And he that is now suffering, right, and punished in hell, cannot give them any advice. He perceived it not of them. He cannot advise them and tell them, don't worship me, worship only God, worship only Jesus Christ, believe in the gospel. He cannot do anything. So right now, those of us who are believers, we have loved ones, do spend time with them and share with them the good news of Jesus Christ, that they might know, and pray God may have mercy to save them. And we want to honor our parents. Don't honor them after they are dead. Honor them when they are still alive. Right? Verse 22. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Yes, the flesh upon him shall have pain. Body one day will suffer in the lake of fire. And his soul within him shall mourn. And yes, the soul will mourn for eternity. And they have no excuse. The finally impenitent, when they are consigned and condemned to the lake of fire, they will mourn for their sin. And they will know that they have received their just punishment. They will blame themselves. They will not blame God. Eternity of regret. Right? And then flesh and soul in torment. What a terrible end. It's something they deserve. Right? And this will be suffered by the one who is found without Lord Jesus Christ. May none of us, right, be found in such a condition. We are sure we belong to the family of God, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, destined for heaven. And once saved, we can be sure God will keep us, preserve us. We will persevere also. We'll believe on the Lord until the very end. Once saved, always saved. Well, that will be the message in the service afterwards. And Job was someone like this, who believed in the Lord with full of hope. He never denied the Lord in any way. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That is true faith. Full of patience, full of perseverance. So may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this hour we can have. Now bless us as we worship thee. We pray for Elder Joseph. Please grant him thy grace. Help him to have a good sleep and rest. Help his body to recover and recuperate. Heal him, Lord, and raise him up so that he might continue to serve thee in the Sunday school. So bless us this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.